I made the joke to Dennis this morning. I put on my suit coat, and I said, it's finally cool enough for me to get dressed up all the way. And then when every time I put it on, I get up here, I realize it's about 10 degrees warmer up here than it is down there. And this turkey comes self-basting, so I'm just going to do that. It's kind of like a little game I'm playing. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that beareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which hath built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, we hear this kind of preaching and this kind of philosophizing today. The difference between what Jesus has to say and what the scribes have to say. The modern day know-it-alls, the people who think they've got it all figured out, and they stand up in their various platforms, be it in their books, their television shows, their whatever. They stand up and they teach allegorically, they teach metaphorically, they teach ideas, they teach emotions, they teach, well, if it sounds good when I say it, and people are clicking like on what I'm saying, therefore it must be good. If people are buying the books, it must be true. If people are following after me, then it's got to be good, right? And what we don't realize is that there's no authority in it. There's no truth in it. And what these people do is they swallow the modern day philosophies, they swallow the modern day practices, and then when the trials come, those philosophies and those ideas absolutely abandon them. The thing that they had fought against, the things that they had believed, the things that they had put all their eggs in that basket, is the very weakness that they now have. You think so often you get into these conversations with people, well, I can drink socially, and the Bible says this about drinking, the Bible says that about drinking, and we can get into debates all we want. But some people, one drink is enough for the drink to take the man. Right? Well, I don't see in Scripture where it says that smoking this is bad. I don't understand why putting this in my body would be a mistake. And before you know it, it takes them over entirely. And then they sit there and they go, well, I don't have a problem, while they're being shuttled off to rehab. I don't have a problem. This is fine. It's legal. It's okay. And we don't realize what's going on. We don't realize what's going on. So there is a difference in our lives, and it is found whether or not we have built our lives upon the rock or built our lives upon the sand. And the problem with this is this. There's a whole lot of people like to build on the beach. There's a whole lot of people want that beachfront property. You often think about over in California. California, they've got those earthquakes, and how often the earthquake will come and it'll shatter their house. And, oh no, what do I do? Well, I go and I get my insurance, and what do? I rebuild right back in the same place. Okay. You know, we think about Florida right now. Florida's got a really big hurricane coming in. Right? You think those people that are more inland, they're going to be far safer than those that build on the beach. But why build on the beach? Oh, because it's so wonderful. It's so nice. Now, I'm not picking on beachfront property. I'm not. But there is a certain weakness to it, is there not? It is not as safe nor as secure. I love going up to the UP and seeing all the beautiful homes right there off of Lake Superior. But then I see the pictures of what it looks like in the winter, and it's all ice covered, not frost covered, ice covered. And I go, oh man, how would you like to get up every morning and de-ice your entire house, your door, your car, sit there and chip out your garage door so you can open it, get your car out. How exciting would that be? We've got a bunch of people nowadays, they're building their lives on vain, carnal philosophies. And they're rejoicing because they're building on the beach. And they're looking at folks like you and I that are building our lives on the old stories, right? We're building our lives on that old book. And we're fuddy-duddies. And we're old-fashioned. and we don't know what we're talking about. You know what? When I see that and I hear them talking like that, I go, you've not come across a storm enough to teach you not to build on the beach. But it'll come. Now some, they'll be able to live their whole lives at the beach. They'll be able to put whatever they want in their bodies. They'll be able to do whatever they want with their bodies, say whatever they want with their mouths, listen and hear and do whatever it is that pleases them. They'll be able to do that their whole lives, and the storm won't come until they open their eyes in hell. Right. And it'll be then where they realize that they've built their lives, their entire lives, on the wrong thing. That the numbness that their carnal lifestyles gave them, the small amount of joy, the popular acceptance that they enjoyed their whole lives was the last bit of ha-ha they'll ever have. Because it'll completely abandon them. We think about the rich man and Lazarus. Didn't we talk about him earlier this morning in our Sunday school class? The rich man thought he had everything. He figured if he just filled his table, he figured if he bought all the fancy things, he figured if he was somebody who was a stand-up citizen in his place, he thought that he had it all. And nothing probably bothered him a single day in his life until he woke up and realized where he was. We must rest assured that even though it does not seem that going against the Word of God has any bad to it, and even though we may sit there and through our ignorance of the Word of God try to justify our actions, when you build on the sand, you build to failure. When you build on the rock, you build for success. Now, what do we mean by success? We're talking about building a life that honors God. That's my definition of success. To know that at the end I've got no guilt. My conscience is secure because I've obeyed what God has said to do. I've got the protections that God's Word gives me. I've got the protection that God gives me, being whom I'm building on. I've got all that security and I am happy. Come to the beach, the world cries. Build on impulse and imagination. We would say that even though their ideals are as old as civilization themselves, for whatever reason, today we brandish these ideals as though they're some brand new creation. Right? Oh man, this sodomy, this transgenderism, all these are all brand new things. This is freedom. We are breaking out of the old restrictions. And I kind of sit there and go, do you know nothing of history? Do you know nothing about how that has been here since the foundation of civilization? We've always had that stuff. This isn't new. They're lying to you. I had a conversation with somebody. They're like, Matt, why do you make it seem as though there's some kind of conspiracy in this? I go, well, let me tell you this. Now, the medical professionals out there, they know that certain chemicals in your blood at a young age are a bad thing. So why on earth would they go for it? Why on earth would they support it so much? Other than the fact that they're afraid of losing their licenses and their practices. Do you know how much money that stuff makes, the medical profession nowadays? Not just in cosmetic surgery, but in medications and pharmaceuticals. We're edging on billions of dollars now. Worldwide. Money. You think that they're perfectly okay with selling these children off to make money? Absolutely. Do you think they're perfectly okay with doing this and knowing that there's no way for them to come back if ever they change? There's no way for them to come back if ever we realize that these chemicals that we're putting into their bodies are causing cancers and malformations and other issues with their thyroids and things like that? Do you think that they care about that? No. What do they care about? The money. Come to the beach. Come to the beach. Instagram says it's okay. Come to the beach. Everybody in your family, all your friends, they're here. We're all building on the beach. We all want some beachfront property. We all want a beer in our hand and some dope in our veins. We all want these things. We all want this acceptance. We like living here on the beach. Because out there are ideals that appeal to the flesh. The problem is with those ideals is that they hide their stinger. It's all well and good for us to sit there and say that social drinking, this or that, any kind of behavior, all of it's fine. But we don't realize the pain that comes after it. If you ask me, I would have to say, don't we put that on the cigarette packages, Surgeon General's warning? I think we should, if we're going to sit there, we're going to sell alcohol. I think we need to put some statistics on there. I want to put some statistics on there. How many people get on the stuff, can't get off? That's what I want to talk about. Oh, that's judgmental. You know what? I'm sick and tired of being called judgmental for telling people what to do when it involves them not dying. Are you with me on that? I'm tired of that. Right? There are people out there right now driving in cars plastered out of their minds. They're going to hit somebody. They're going to end a family's life. And they got in the car thinking, I'm okay. That's the sting of sin. You're okay. You're okay. I've never met anybody who's been thrown into jail for vehicular manslaughter who said, you know what, I knew that would happen. Every single time, what do they say? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. And here's what they do. They try to take some distance between them and their actions. And, oh, you don't understand. I got all these problems. I didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. You put that in your veins. You put that in your body. You behave that way. I know somebody right now. They sit there. They tear up every relationship they have. They talk down to people. They're awful to people. They rob, they cheat, they steal, they do all sorts of things. And you know what? They often cry when they're busted. You know what? They often cry when people cut them off. I'm just doing my best. I don't understand. Yes, you do. You're telling lies. You're gossiping. You're running your mouth. You're making stuff up. You're causing fights where there don't need to be fights. You're doing whatever makes you feel good because running your mouth gives you the good chemicals. You know exactly what you're doing. In your body, you want to come down and build on ideals that are not the Lord's. And there's a stinger to it. You lose your family. You hurt people. I was reading a book. It was by somebody who transitioned through this transgenderism. And after a while, they realized, not through religious purposes, they just didn't like it anymore. They didn't find religion. It was they're a very agnostic kind of a person. Sat there and said, you know, I realized I was no longer comfortable this way. I wanted to go back the other way, and I couldn't. And they talked about all the pain and all the chemicals and all the things going on there, all the transition that their body went through when they stopped taking the things and the amount of just awful that the whole thing was. And I'm like, huh. Nobody told you about that before they had you sign on the little line there? The pharmacist never told you. Nobody ever, you know why? Because that was the stinger to it. Give me your money. Give me your money, give me your freedom. And you think that it's just this world? You think that it's just people nowadays that are doing this? No, folks, it is the devil that says himself, come to the beach. Come to the beach. You figure any carnal-minded thing, any backwards, ungodly philosophy out there, I'm picking on a handful, we could go all day. Come to the beach. Come out my way. We need to stand against that stuff. Because I tell you what, you know what I'm tired of seeing? I'm tired of seeing lives fall apart while people go, I don't understand what's going on. I'm tired of it. It hurts my heart to see that. Doesn't it hurt your heart? To see what people are doing out there? I tell you what, moving out here is kind of nice. It used to be every now and then I'd be driving into work. There'd be some homeless person shot up at one of the bus stops. And almost at least once a month, you'd find a cop car sitting there trying to revive some guy, shoot some Narcan into him, save his life. That ought to break our hearts. It ought to hurt us. To see people suffering in such a way. Because why? Somebody said, come out to the beach. Build out here. Have a nice beach home like we have. Right? Come have acceptance with us. We have parties every night. We'll have a bonfire out there by the water. Oh, we're going to have a great time. And then the storm comes. And there's no respite. There's no peace. I've told people sometimes, I say, hey, listen, I see what you want to do. And if you're asking my advice, I would say don't do that. Now listen, I'm your friend. I'm your good friend. I'm going to be here to help you pick up the pieces when this shatters. But I'm warning you, man, I'd much rather not have to help you put this back together. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've said that to folks. I've had people come to my life. Come and say that to me about my thing. Hey, don't do that. And thankfully, more often than not, I've had the good sense to listen to them. And then I step back and I look at that and I go, whew, you know, Pastor, Brother Lance, Mom, Dad, thank you. Because that would have been a doozy. That would have been a hard one to come back from. Listen to what Jesus has to say about this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. But verse 26 on the other side, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The distinction here is not tradition. The distinction here is not some pastor's opinion. The distinction here is what saith the Lord. What does He say about it? And folks, that needs to be our heart. Do we not love Him? Didn't we preach this morning about wanting to walk with Him? Man, if He tells me to do it, if He tells me not to do it, you better believe I should be listening. And if your belief in God is tattered so much that that doesn't matter to you, well, let me lay it like this. Have you not seen how many people failed going that way? How many the lion has gotten on that path as he wandered to and fro? I mean, if you need proof, there's plenty of it out there. Come, let's go to the rehabilitation centers. Come, let's head on over here. Let's go on down past a certain road in Flint. And let me show you what that life produces. Hey, let's go over to the hospital tonight and let's see who walks through the door and why they walk through the door. Hey, let's go down to the social workers and ask the social workers what condition these children nowadays are in. Hey, let's really look at it and then come back and tell me. What's wrong with a worldly lifestyle? Because to me, I was already sold just on what the Lord has to say. Yeah, it sure is popular. Yeah, people feel good. Yeah, people will give you the grand sales pitch for earthly carnal things. Oh, we're doing good. Don't you listen to them. We're doing real good. You're doing real good right now. But what happens when the tide turns? What happens when the flood comes? What happens when the ground shakes and all of a sudden everything you held dear turns against you and is the very thing that comes after you? Folks, our decisions matter. They matter twofold. Number one, I ought to be very concerned about how God is going to respond to me, because I understand that if He loves me, He'll chasten me, and that bothers me. That bothers me. But don't we realize that sin has a certain effect? And when we do things wrong, it matters. It takes the least amount of effort to live off of impulse and imagination, doesn't it? Very little effort. You know, I'll see that nowadays between me and my kids. When I was a kid, and I was outside playing in the backyard. Remember being a kid playing in the backyard? Wasn't that a carefree time? You didn't care for a thing, did you? You're just, you probably played 100 different games in the span of 10 whole minutes, right? All that energy you used to have. But nowadays, when you're out in the yard, what are you doing? Chores. One of my kids looked at me and told me, well, that's different. You like doing chores. I go, oh. When did that happen? Our hearts changed. Our attitudes changed. Why? Because we went from what? Impulse and imagination to being purposeful, to being responsible. And you want to know why I've got to walk around and be responsible in the backyard while my kids get to sit there and pretend to be whatever it is that comes to mind? Because what happens if we don't take care of certain things? They collapse. They fall apart. And folks, this is the difference. It's much easier for us to do this. It's much easier for me to give in. It's much easier for me to say yes. But easy has never been the benchmark for right or wrong. Never has been. There are responsibilities that we have. Decisions that must be made, and must be made in the proper way and with the proper motive. It costs very little to give in up front. But the big cost comes later. The big cost always comes later. It takes very little thought to give in to the flesh. Right? Oh, that looks fun. All right, well, this will make me happy. Well, I'm bored, so I'll do that. And before we know it, we've built the wrong kind of things going on in our lives. The foundation, the building materials, they're not quite right. So then all of a sudden an argument breaks out and you've picked up yourself a bad new habit. So what happens? It displays itself. Why? Because what's inside comes out. You've picked up some bad things. Right? Or how about this? You sit there, you saturate your mind with cussing, swearing, and ungodly things, and carnal things, and lascivious things, and you're dumping all that into your brain. And all of a sudden, when the next temptation comes by, you're more susceptible to it. Why? Because you've taken the easy road for so long, you forgot how to do it. You forgot how to take the right one. It's like somebody who sits for too long. I'll do this. I've been going and taking the water sample. And we're almost done with the water sampling thing. I'm very excited about that. Very, very pleased with that. But I'll go up there. And if you've ever been to the courthouse down in Flint, in order to get to the water station, you can either take the elevator or you can do the really big stairs going all the way up. If you've never been there, you don't have to go there. But the big staircase. And you know what I'll find? Some months I went up that staircase. All right, here's our water sample. Give me another cup. All right, y'all have a good day. I went up there probably a few months ago. Went up the stairs. Of course, I had a mask on too, so it made it even better. You know how that goes. Just I sat there. I got down into my car, and I'm like, well, that's got to stop. I got to do something about that. Folks, that is the curse of the easy decision. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll eat that. Yeah, I'll participate in this. Yeah, I'll go there. Yeah, I'll say that. What's that? You want to gossip? All right, here we go. What's that? You want to talk bad about? Yeah, here we are. What's that? You want to pick a fight? Hey, I'll pick a fight with you. Let's go. We give in and we give in and we give in. And before we know it, we're out of spiritual shape. And all of a sudden, every time the wind blows, every time the rain spatters on the window, we fall apart. Why? Because you built on the sand. Lord said, this is how you handle stuff, and we did it the other way. And all of a sudden, we act all surprised when the wall falls in. Oh, let's not take the easy route. And I'll even say this, I understand that building on the rock takes effort. Number one, I got to know where the materials are. I've got to get into the book. I've got to take those things. I've got to fabricate them into my life. I've got to put them into place. I've got to sit there and say, all right, Scripture, how do I be a husband? All right, I'll put that together. All right, Scripture, how about a dad? All right, I'll put that together. All right, how about a pastor? All right, put that together. And we've all got our roles. We've all got the things that we're doing. But we ought to be going to the Scripture, grabbing the material, and building on it. I get that that's difficult. I struggle every day. You struggle every day. But you do the work anyway. I like this. My father-in-law, you always used to tell me this, and it is still something stuck in my head, and I'll repeat it to my kids. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it again? Almost everything I do, man, if you don't have time to do it right, when are you going to have time to do it again? So make sure it's good. Why? Because we understand the value of doing something wrong, don't we? You ever put something together, realize you messed something up, so you had to take it all apart again? I think we did that with your armoire. We were putting stuff together and we were all looking at it and we stepped back and I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the plans and I go, we missed something. We got to go back a few steps. Well, does it matter? Yes. Yes, it does matter. Oh, and isn't that the topic of conversation? Does it matter? Yes. If God told me to do it, it matters. God tells me not to do it, that matters. Well, I don't understand how it matters. Don't bother yourself with that. Don't. Right? I've got devices, right? I didn't bring my laptop up here, but I got my laptop. I don't know how that thing works. Don't get me wrong, I know how to I do the word, I can type, I can make it do its stuff. But if you ask me what's going on the inside, on the other side of the screen, I don't know. How does this turn into the letter L? I don't know. All I know is I just push that. I get an L and I'll push up some more other letters and scroll the mouse around. I know how to do it. I don't know how it works. Right? Sometimes my brother-in-law would sit there. He says, now don't do that. And you wonder why he says it so sternly? Because guess who I go to when it goes bad? JR, messed it up, but I haven't done that in a really long time. Very grateful for that, because he moves my icons around. I don't like it, but don't do it. Well, can you explain to me why? You wouldn't understand. Well, that's mean, but I appreciate you putting it that way, because I get that. All right. Things work the way they work. God created all things. If the Lord says to do, I'll obey it. And never because it doesn't matter. We'll just blindly follow. No, he'll often show you later why. He'll often show you later why you don't do that. We've had that conversation with our kids. I'm sure you've had it with yours, haven't you? Don't jump on the bed.
Why?
You'll fall off. Oh, no, not me. And if I fall off, I'm tough enough. And what do you hear from the base? What do we hear from downstairs every now and then? Clunk. Now, what happened?
I fell off the bed.
What were you doing?
I was jumping out of bed.
Did I tell you not to jump on the bed? Yeah. What did we learn?
Don't jump on the bed.
Right? Everybody else in the house is sitting there going, oh, it does hurt to land on your head. Did you know that? It does hurt. You know, we learned this when we were kids, too, because we had the don't jump on the bed rule. We learned this, too, that sometimes you jump on the bed, you don't have to worry about the bed. You got to worry about dad trying to take a nap in the next room coming in with a belt. Worry about that. And I go, okay, I got you now, Dad. Thank you. No jumping on the bed when you're sleeping. No, just don't do it. It's not about blindly following. There are inherent dangers. And you know what? Maybe I don't got the sophistication. Maybe I don't got the knowledge to know why I shouldn't do it. But I ought to trust him, because it's much better than getting a busted head to find out why. It's much better than getting a busted tail to find out why. How many things do we see in the Word of God and we look at it like a child hears, don't jump on the bed? Okay, all right, Lord. But I'm strong enough. I'm good. I handle it. You don't understand. I'm superior. I got it, Lord. Like all these other guys, I hear you. All these other ones, they'll fall off the bed. But me, if I fall off the bed, I'll be okay. And the storm comes. The winds blow. And there we are going, I don't know what happened. And you would almost hear that conversation on the Lord's side. What happened? My life's falling apart, Lord. What, did you do these things I told you to do? No. I see that you did these three things I told you not to do. Yeah. So what did we learn? Don't do those things, but do those things. But by then, where are we? We're in rebuild mode now. Put things back together. It's not worth it. It really is not worth it to have to rebuild, to have to redo. I would much rather take the materials that God gives me for the building blocks of life and put them to work, build on the right foundation, build on Him, than to have to sit there and rebuild, because life is hard enough as it is. I'm going to face grief. I'm going to face turmoil and trouble and trials. I'm going to face those things anyway. Why on earth would I create more? Does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense to me, but we do it, don't we? Right? It's hard enough to live life in a godly way. Why would I complicate it with extra sin, with extra rebellion? Why would I complicate it by not obeying Him in certain things? Why? If I know it's only going to complicate things. Yeah, it's hard to walk with the Lord. Yeah, it's hard to build with those building blocks, but it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Just because something takes effort doesn't mean you can't do it. Now, I'm telling that to a bunch of people that grew up from generations that already knew that lesson. But I see out there another generation and generations among them that don't understand that anymore. And it's not just the younger ones. There's people from every walk of life who never quite figured out that a little bit of work is not undoable, is not too hard. Yes, it takes effort. But it's not just you doing it either. The Lord Himself promises to enable you to do the things that He's called you to do. These are not difficult things. They are, yes, they've got a certain level of work to them. Yes, it can be a little hard, but they're not too difficult. And it's not just in the building of the materials and the correcting of things, but it's in taking the daily, everyday steps. Taking the daily steps. we would go in and we'd have people in the apartment community that would complain of mold in their bathroom. And I'll tell you this, did you know the vast majority of the time people called about mold in their bathroom? You want to know where it was? Not behind the toilet, not in the ceiling, not in the walls, not anywhere where I would be like, mold, oh no, we better go look at it. You know where it was always, almost always, with very few exceptions? It was in the grout line. Now, I don't know if you, but that's not mold. What is it? That's mildew. Why is that there? Well, you didn't scrub it. You didn't clean it. So we had a lady, she was all upset. She called, she was panicked and panicked me. Oh, I've got all these issues. I've got asthma. I've got all these problems. There's this mold coming out of the walls. I go, in the walls? She goes, in the walls. I go, not on the tile. She goes, no, out of the walls. I go, oh no. And I go running over there. Forget the maintenance guys. I go running over there. What is the problem? And I look at it, and sure enough, it's coming from around the grout lines and the tiles. I go, you said coming out of the wall. She goes, yeah. She touched the tile. She goes, that's tile. She touched the grout. She goes, that's coming from the wall. I go, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. I was there. I cleaned everything up, and we did the work order. We chipped out the old grout that wouldn't come clean, and we put in new grout. And I said, listen, here's this thing called bleach. I left you a whole bottle. Just every now and then you get you a rag and you just wipe that down after a shower, you'll be good. Right? I go, if you don't like bleach, there's a bunch of other products out there do the same business for you, okay? You pick it, you like it, it works. You just, 3 months later, guess who had mold coming out of her walls again? Go over there, same spiel. Why? You're not listening. You're not hearing. You know, we think so often of these minor things that only get big because we don't do the day-to-day stuff we're supposed to. You know, you will never get to 2 or 3 months without reading your Bible if you're on it every day. You'll never be able to sit there and say, well, I haven't done this or done that for the Lord in X amount of time if you make sure it's a part of everyday practice. You put a priority on it. Walking with the Lord is not a once-in-a-week thing. It's not a twice-in-a-week thing. Walking with the Lord and obeying the Lord and building your life on the rock is an everyday thing. It's an every decision thing. Right? We have a little phrase that we see, we kind of put together from what we see in the Bible. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Well, that's very restricting. You know what? I still find a lot of things that I can do without having to worry about that. You know, I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, all right, Matt, here is a list of the foods you are no longer allowed to have. And I go, well, what am I supposed to eat? And the doctor looked at me like I was an idiot. She goes, well, there's all this other stuff, fruits, vegetables. And I go, okay, smart aleck. Right? Daily stuff. Take care of your daily stuff. Right? Stay away from the things you're not supposed to do on a regular basis. And guess what? There won't be a problem. Now, why is it that the preachers preach on music? It was one of the things that would have been in that lesson for Sunday school that I bypassed because I preach on it all the time. Why do we preach on music? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It changes your mindset. It changes the way you think. It softens you to certain ideas and concepts. Music has an effect, and then people sit there and they stomp and they say, no, it doesn't. Okay, well, then why don't you listen to good Christian music? Why is it that that's so important? I don't know. This music just makes me feel better. I'll wait for you to catch up on that one. It doesn't have an effect on me. Well, then why that one? It makes me feel good. Okay. Well, I like something I can dance to a little bit. Why? Oh, it just feels good. So you're saying that music is having an effect on how you feel? Yeah. Has an effect on the way you think? Yeah. That's what preachers have been preaching on. That's what we're preaching on. Be careful what you have access to your mind. Be careful what you put in that, what you put in the mix of what's in your heart, right? Out of the abundance of your heart, it comes out, doesn't it? Haven't you found that? You know, I like when Christians who've been saved, well, I don't like it, but every now and then you see Christians who've been saved for a while, you startle them and a swear word comes out. Why'd that happen? Oh, well, I don't know, but yeah, what kind of music are you listening to? What are you listening to all the time? Who are you around? What are you watching? We ask them all these questions. Well, okay, so you're surrounding yourself by it and you're wondering why it's still coming out? Because you keep shoveling it in. Of course it's going to come out. You know, why is it that all of a sudden my life, all these temptations are having a better effect on me? Why is this happening? Well, what have you weakened yourself with? What have you weakened yourself with? Right? We're sitting there as Christians, sinful, carnal things are like kryptonite for us, and yet we're sitting there building our houses out of it. We're letting it into our house, we're letting it into our diet, we're letting it into our day-to-day lives, and we wonder why we're so weak. Listen to what God has to say. Be consistent. Be thorough. Every day I make my decisions based on whether or not I'm building upon the rock or building on the sand. And there is no doing both, by the way. You can't serve God and mammon. No man can have two masters. There's a point in a lot of people's lives in their Christian walk, and it happens a lot, where we're hanging on to worldly things and we're reaching forward to the godly things. And it gets uncomfortable. I'm tired of hearing the preacher preach on that. I'm tired of feeling guilty all the time. I'm tired of having to hide it. I'm tired of what people think about it when it comes out. I'm tired of hearing all the advice. I'm tired of all of it. So we're hanging on to godly things. We're hanging on to the worldly things. And so very often it's God we let go of. Because we see everybody at the beach. We see everybody with their beachfront property out there on the sand. And we go, that looks a lot better to me. I've seen it. You've seen it too. Where the pressure on them to hang on to both is too much and they let go of one. And it is very seldom the world, sadly. It doesn't have to be that way, by the way. We're not stuck in that decision. We're just as freely able to let go of the things of the world and embrace the things of God. But you ask any builder what happens when you build on two different kinds of foundation, and they'll tell you, that's a recipe for disaster. And eventually we have to look at this. You know, they may poke fun and there may be battles between those that build upon the rock and those that build upon the sand, but all mouths will be shut when the floods come. Look at what he says here in verse 26. Sorry, verse 27. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. What happens when this sin, what happens when this lifestyle that the pastor's been preaching against, that I see warned against in the Word of God, what happens when this marijuana that I'm putting into my body through whatever, what happens when the bad things happen? It turns on you. It turns on you. What happens to a person who gives all of their money to create brand new lifestyles, put themselves into these things? What happens when that person who sins in that way no longer has the ability to benefit the others that are sinning that way? What do? They turn their back on them. They turn their back on them. Well, I don't know about that. Wait for it. You'll see it. You look close enough. I tell you what, everybody loves the baseball player who can pitch 100 miles an hour until he can't pitch 100 miles an hour anymore. Everybody loves the life of the party until the life of the party has three DUIs and they're spending time in jail. For whatever reason, those people who are pouring you shots and drinks and whatever, they're not there to visit you in jail. Right? You ran over a sidewalk. You endangered lives. You might have even killed somebody. They got to distance themselves from you. We even see that in the modern philosophy today with everything that we see going on between homosexuality and again, this brand new threat, and it's growing. They're not talking much about it, but this growing threat of socializing a socially acceptable pedophilia. All of a sudden, those that stood up for certain things are going, okay, whoa, we didn't mean that. Well, you can't open Pandora's box and just let one of them out. You can't do that. Oh, you can't lump them together. Then why are they walking so stinking close together? You see so many people standing up now that were in that march for equality for homosexuality. Okay, but we didn't mean that. Well, you used the argument that opened the door for them, so, I mean, you grease the pan, don't be angry if they jump in. They'll eat each other alive. You think those drugs that make you feel good on a Friday, Saturday night, you think they'll be there for you? No, they're killing you. They're killing you. Oh, but the science says, oh, hush. You know, I sit there, I used to knock on people's doors, and they'd be high as a kite. Why? Because they're literally blowing out the entire building with their smoke. And they come to the door. You know what? I don't find a highly intelligent college professor on the other side of the door. I remember renting to a highly intelligent college professor, but it's not who comes to the door. It's somebody who could barely figure out the doorknob. And how, what are they? Oh, no, that's good. That's good for your brain. That's healthy for you. It's wonderful for you. It's a lie. It's a lie. Oh, no, you could drive on it. Yeah. But let's look at the numbers, shall we? Let's look at the people's faces. Look what they're capable of. You know, I'm sitting there going, can we talk? What? No, we need to talk about what? I'm going to come back later and we're going to talk. Why? Because you can't shut your brain off with any chemical and call it good for your brain. Your brain's not meant to be shut off like that. It's not meant to do that. When the floods come, those things will be the things that become a part of their destruction. The marijuana will become the thing that they turn to time and time and time and time again as the things get harder, depleting their brain cells, making them unable to fight as well as they could if they were free of the mind. The friends that say come out to the beach will be also out there digging up the last remainders of their lives when the floods come for your house. You ever see that in horrible disasters? I'm not trying to make light of horrible disasters, by the way. You ever see that in horrible disasters? The entire neighborhood is digging through their house. Your neighbors aren't going to come over and help you for a little bit. Why? Because the same storm that took out their house took out yours. Everybody's busy. When everybody's in the same lifestyles, everybody's in the same sin, everybody's out at the beach, and the storm comes, those people won't have the capability to be able to help you because they're too busy drowning themselves. Oh, I did this and I did that, and now I'm deeply in debt because of it. What do? I don't know, man, I'm in debt too. And we talk about that in different ventures and investments and things like that, right? Where the best advice they have is, take out another credit card, you'll be okay. Oh, now I'm in trouble, I don't know what to do. Well, you figure it out, you let me know. Well, you told me to do this. Yeah, but I didn't tell you that it would work. Just tell you that it'd keep us making money. Come on, what we need to do is see not just the danger, but see who it is that's telling us it's dangerous. Because while the world laughs at us in our old-fashioned, quaint little ways, when the floods come, it's us. It's us who have the Lord's ear. It's us that have the comfort. It's us that have the structure and the ability to handle things. The Bible preaches to us of being a good steward. So we try. And in a way, we're prevented from many of the harsh troubles and realities. There's so much temptation and awful out there, but when we've built our lives upon the rock, it can't get to us where we are. At least it can't have the effect on us that it would other people. You know what? I'll tell you this. On the way home tonight, I am probably not going to get pulled over and get a ticket for driving drunk. You want to know why? I went the whole day. Now, don't come after me for that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because I didn't. There's going to be trials and troubles that never come your way because you built on the rock. Well, I've never had that particular temptation. Good, because you built on the rock. Stay on it. Because somewhere along the line, you're able to preserve and build away from those things that would be dangerous, those things that would destabilize your life. You built away from there. Stay there. And that is, again, so many of the things that we preach. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord says. Don't. Do. And when we're building like that and we're doing those things, we're prevented from a lot of things. At Legacy 5 song, thank you, Lord, for the storms I never see. What about in the storms? We know about storms, don't we? troubles and things that keep us up at night and bother us. They're horrible. But with God, they're manageable, they're bearable, they're survivable. You can heal. You can come back from them. God grants His mercy. God gives us miracles, does all sorts of things to prevent us from falling apart. Oh, we'll still catch a tree branch now and then. But God takes care of us. The rock will support us. God's word itself is solid. It is beneficial to the obedience of it. He enforces His commands. Not only does He say, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but He'll be useful in that moment. We had to give my boss some bad news one time. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to break it to the boss. We promised that we'd have all these units done, but so-and-so got sick, so-and-so got fired, and then we had all these issues and the supplies didn't come in. How am I going to tell the boss? And I go, all right, well, I'll go tell him. You come with me. And my buddy at work goes, all right, you and me, we'll go tell him together. And I go there and I tell the boss, and I'm the only one talking. And after a while, that weasel slips out of the room and Lord does something. You know, I'm sitting there going, all right, now here's the plan. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. My buddy wasn't there. You know, my Lord says He's going to be there for me. His word's going to tell me how to get through this thing. I'm going to be surrounded by His people who are going to support me through this thing. I'll have all the advice I need, all the wisdom I need. I'm going to have a support system available to me. I'll know how to rebuild. I'll know how to fix. I'll know how to stand. I'll know how to be able to continue on. What's important for us to do is to not build foolishly, right? Now, what do we mean by building foolishly? We mean doing things that are counter to what God says to do. So if we see in Scripture, don't, we don't. If we see in Scripture, do, we do. It is, folks, that simple. That simple. But where does the problem come in? When we stand up on that rock and we count the steps that we've got to take to get there, and we see all the people having what looks like fun, and they're smiling, and they're red in the face, and they're suntanning, and they're poking fun at us, and all you fuddy-duddies, all you judgmental people, oh, how dare you build all the way up there when it's much more fun? How dare you force your kids to want to build on the rock when we ought to be out here on the beach? That's what makes it hard. But I tell you what, I'm not building for fun. I think about my kids. I think about this church. I think about each other. None of this is for fun. This matters. This is important. I've seen people misstep. I've seen people build on the sand. And I've seen what it does to them. And I've built on the rock. And I've hit the hard times. The storms have come. The floods have come. And I've seen the Lord make good on His promises. I can attest in those things. Hard, easy, it doesn't matter. If the Lord says to do it, that's what we need to be doing. That's how you build properly. And there should be tons of motivation for us to build that way. If I build rapidly, if I build selfishly, if I build off of imagination or impulse or philosophy, it's not just me who gets hurt. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's this church. Same thing for each and every last one of us. The things that we do in our private lives affect how the Lord is going to bless this church. It affects what the Lord is going to do through this church. If we've got sin in the camp, I mean, my goodness, think about Achan. Joshua's heart was right and pure, wasn't it? The people who went to battle, they were right and pure. There was one guy with some stuff hidden back at home. And it affected the entire army. Affected all of the people. Folks, what we do matters. Well, and then the sin we participate in has a strong and solid effect. Let's not build foolishly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for Your patience to us, Lord, but more important, I don't want to say more importantly, but Lord, we're grateful for the fact that You show us what to do, how to do it, and you're willing to forgive us when we get it wrong. Lord, I pray that you keep us building on the rock. Help us, Lord, to take your words as precious promises and instructions. Lord, help us to treat them as we would any manual or instruction we would get for anything we would have today. So often this world tells the joke that they wish life came with an instruction manual. Well, Father, we have it. We just don't always treat it that way. Lord, help us to sober up to it. Help us to walk and build daily in your word. For its name, in Jesus, we pray. Amen.